This is the day that the Lord has made.
Let us rejoice and be glad.
I'd like to welcome you all here 15th Sunday after Pentecost. We'll be following to divine service for our Lutheran service book, hymn number 793, 797, 507, 842, 636, 398, and 832. The following our service this evening on the beginning on page 3 with the confession and absolution, followed by sharing the peace and the processional hymn. Let us rise. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
If we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves. The truth is not in us.
But if we confess our sins, God, who is faithful and just, will forgive our sins and cleanse us from all our unrighteousness.
Let us be our receiving the confession.
us pray.
O Lord, with your merciful ears, be open to the prayers of your humble servants, and grant that what they ask may be accorded with your gracious will. Through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
Amen.
As we sit here, the reading of our lessons from God's Holy Word. Rise from the singing of the Alleluia verse.
Alleluia, Alleluia, Alleluia.
seventh chapter.
Glory to you, O Lord.
Jesus returned from the region of Tyre and went to the side of the Sea of Galilee, the region of the Decapolis. And they brought him to a man who was deaf and had a speech impediment. And they begged him to lay his hands on him. And taking him aside from the crowd privately, he put his fingers into his ears, and after spitting, touched his tongue. And looking up to heaven, he sighed and said to him, Ephatha, that is, be opened. And his ears were opened, his tongue was released, and he spoke plainly. And Jesus charged them to tell no one. But the more he charged them, the more zealously they proclaimed it. And they were astonished beyond measure, saying, He has done all things well. He even makes the deaf hear and the mute speak. This is the gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, O Christ.
This time the people will be seated behind the officers of the congregation and ministers become part of the show.
Some churches actually
I was in Canada baptized. But then we poured the water over you three times in the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. And so those are the three ways that God's forgiveness gets to you. Through the Word of God, hearing that you're forgiven. Through Holy Communion, receiving the body and blood of Jesus for forgiveness. And through baptism. That when you were baptized, you were sealed as God's child. You get to forgiveness to see that. So let's pray. Dear God, thank you for your word.
Thank you for your word.
For Holy Communion. Pages here. There's puzzles on one side. It's there to color things on the other. So you can each take one of those, take one back to Emma. We will continue with our sermon.
Thank you. the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Please be seated. Last Sunday, we finished reading through St. Paul's letter to the Ephesians. A beloved passage from that a few weeks ago is Ephesians 2, verse 8 and 9. For by grace you have been saved through faith, and this is not your own doing, it is the gift of God, not a result of works, so that no one may boast. This Sunday, we begin the book of James, likely written by Jesus' half-brother who became the first bishop of Jerusalem. In James, we read, "What good is it, my brothers, if someone says he has faith but does not have works? Can that faith save him? So also, faith by itself, if it does not have works, is dead." Many people have Ephesians 2, 8, and 9 as their confirmation verse, but I don't know anyone who has James 2, 14 as their confirmation verse. You are saved by grace through faith and not by works. Faith without works is dead. It appears we have a contradiction. Which is true, saved by faith or faith without works is dead? The answer is both. You are saved by grace through faith, and faith without works is dead. Both of these truths need to be heard, so the big question is, who needs to hear which one and when? When we study the Catechism, we learn about law and gospel. The law shows our sins, S-O-S. The law tells us what to do and what not to do, and the law has three uses. First, it curbs our behavior. Like when you're driving down 129 and you see a state trooper up in the median. What do, Drew?
Slow down.
Slow down. Even if you're going the speed limit, you might slow down. So the law there curbs your behavior. The law also functions as a mirror. You look into the law and it shows you your sin and it shows you that you're a sinner. The third use of the law is as a guide. It functions that way. It kind of tells you how to live. Love God, love your neighbor. Now, the law does not only condemn, it has other uses, but the law always condemns. The law always shows that you're a sinner. So, hearing that faith without works is dead is law. You are saved by grace through faith is gospel. The word gospel in Greek means good news. The gospel is the good news of forgiveness in Jesus Christ. The gospel shows our Savior, S-O-S. The gospel tells what God has done for you in Jesus Christ, that Jesus died on the cross to pay for your sins. He rose from the dead to conquer death, that in Christ you have eternal life. The law is the word of God, and the gospel is the word of God. So when should we use Ephesians 2, and when should we use James 2? C.F.W. Walther was the first president of the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod, which was founded in 1847. It was originally called Die Deutsche Evangelische Lutherische Synod von Missouri, Ohio und anderen Staaten, or the German Evangelical Lutheran Synod of Missouri, Ohio, and other states. In 1947, Ohio lost out, and the name was shortened down to Lutheran Church Missouri Synod. A sort of strange geographic name, but it was chosen because the synod began in Missouri and is still headquartered in St. Louis. C.F.W. Walther gave a series of lectures on Friday nights between September of 1884 and November of 1885. His teachings about law and gospel were compiled from those lecture notes in a very useful book called The Proper Distinction of Law and Gospel. Understanding law and gospel is vital for Christians. The confusion of law and gospel has caused no end of trouble in the church. People thinking they're saved no matter what they do, and people thinking they're saved by what they do. Walther helps us to understand when to use the law and when to use gospel. his 8th, 9th, and 10th theses help clarify. Thesis 8. The word of God is not rightly divided when the law is preached to those who are already in terror on account of their sins, or the gospel to those who live securely in their sins. Thesis 9. The word of God is not rightly divided when sinners who have been struck down and terrified by the law are directed not to the word and sacraments, but to their own prayers and wrestlings with God in order that they may win their way into a state of grace. In other words, when they are told to keep on praying and struggling until they feel that God has received them into grace. Thesis 10. The word of God is not rightly divided when the preacher describes faith in a manner as if the mere inert acceptance of truths, even while a person is living in mortal sins, renders that person righteous in the sight of God and saves him. Or as if faith makes a person righteous and saves him for the reason that it produces in him love and reformation of his mode of living. Now, law and gospel are both useful. The gospel should be preached to those who are in terror of their sins. The law should be preached to those who live securely in their sins. If someone is struggling with guilt and shame because they know God is holy and they are not, because God demands obedience and they fail to obey because they cannot stop sinning no matter how hard they try, this person does not need to hear the law. They know the law. They need to hear the good news that Jesus died for sinners to forgive them of their sins. They need the gospel. However, if someone is secure in their sins, if they're living in ongoing unrepentant sin, if they think, I like to sin, God likes to forgive, that's a pretty good deal. Or they think, I know that what I'm doing is wrong, but everyone else is doing it, it's no big deal. I got baptized, so I'm not going to hell. If they live in ongoing hatred towards others rather than love, they need to hear God's law. They need to hear that faith without works is dead. They need to hear that they must obey God's commands and not live a life of lawlessness. And when they repent of their sins and understand that they are indeed a sinner and the wages of sin is death, then they are ready to hear the gospel. Then they're ready to hear that their sins are forgiven in Jesus. James 2 is law. Faith without works is dead. Don't think that just because you say you believe in Jesus that that is real faith. Real faith produces fruit, the fruit of good works. The good works do not save you, but they are present because of your faith in Christ. As a baptized follower of Jesus, you cling to the cross of Christ, you treasure his word, you gather to hear the word and receive the gifts of his body and blood for the forgiveness of sins. Cling to Jesus, knowing that you are forgiven, and live out your forgiven life. Love your neighbors by doing what you have been given to do. Do what you have been given to do as a wife, a husband, a friend, mother, father, child, grandparent, student, teacher, worker, employer, neighbor, shopper, citizen. Do all that you have been given to do in love for your neighbor. And when you fail to love, confess your sin, receive the forgiveness, and live your life as a faithful follower of Jesus. For by grace, you have been saved through faith. And this is not your own doing, it is the gift of God, not a result of works, so that no one may boast. And we read in Matthew 5, in the same way, let your light shine before others, so that they may see your good works and give glory to your Father who is in heaven. Live so people see your good works and give glory to God. Now, good works are not some specific work like going on a pilgrimage or spending a certain amount of time each day in prayer or Bible reading. Good works flow from knowing You are forgiven by the blood of Jesus and living out that forgiven life in all that you do. God's law shows your sin. God's gospel shows Jesus has saved you from your sin. Live in Jesus' forgiveness. Amen. And now may the peace of God, the peace that is beyond understanding, keep your hearts and minds in true faith until our Lord Jesus returns in glory. Amen. We rise and confess our faith in the words of the Nicene Creed.
Jeff, Sandy, Wilton's family, Marla,
Eric, Linda, Deanna, Tom's family, Doris, Mark, Sarah, and Austin and their unborn child. Let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For all of you this day, that they would receive Christ's body and blood in repentance and faith and the forgiveness of sins, and in the unity of a true confession, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
All these things and whatever else you know that we need, grant us, Father, for the sake of him who died and rose again and now lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God forever.
Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name, thy kingdom.
"This is my body which is given for you. This do in remembrance of me." In the same way also took the cup after supper. And when he had given thanks, he gave it to him, saying, "Drink of it all. This cup is the New Testament in my blood, which is shed for you for the forgiveness of sins. This do as often as you drink it in remembrance of me."
Peace of the Lord be with you all. Amen.
sins are forgiven. Savior Jesus Christ, strengthen you and preserve you in true faith unto life everlasting. Heart and peace. Your sins are forgiven. Welcome to the Lord's Day. Savior Jesus Christ, strengthen you. Preserve you in true faith and in life everlasting. Go with peace. Your sins are forgiven.
in faith toward you and in fervent love toward one another, through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.